How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Law 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your summer project at Menards. Transform your garage with rock solid floor coatings. Complete your project with a showroom quality finish in 1 weekend. A one car kit covers up to 250 square feet. Get everything you need to complete your project with rock solid floor coatings. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big. It's showtime, folks. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe. Dr. Curry, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. We got a fun show planned for you, as always, today. Keith Bullock. We were talking about him yesterday, so we said, why not? Let's reach out. He's going to join us at 9:30.
There we go, man. That red button. Be good to talk to Keith Bullock. Coming up our conversation yesterday about the Titans defense giving the green dot to the rookie linebacker out of North Carolina, and just has a rookie, what all is going to happen when you get ready for the game. If you are the captain, the quarterback of the defense as a rookie, it's a lot to battle there. Chase, I was getting comments still this morning on our question from yesterday.
I love that.
The best fictitious sports coach of all time. We're not going to get into it today, but you guys were fantastic with all of your answers that you gave us yesterday. So, a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, and we'll have another question of the day for you here in just a few minutes. But and it's a good one, and it kind of all ties together. But, you know, the NFL, they're doing their little schedule release thing. And I read something yesterday. I forgot who tweeted it, but – it was like, for all the things the NFL does right, the schedule release is not one of them, which I think is pretty funny. But
I laugh because they embargo us,
yeah,
like the Titans, like don't release this. Yet Adam Schefter,
but here's the thing: they send it out to us like 10 minutes before it's going to be released anyway.
But it still say embargo.
No, I know.
But Schefter's out there all day yesterday and today. He's popping some of you. We got the first Monday night game is announced. It's going to be New York at San Francisco. So that knocks
the Jets at San Francisco.
Yeah, the Jets, sorry. So that knocks two of the Titans' eight opponents, or nine, whatever, home opponents down. So now you got to figure out the Packers are done because they're playing down in Brazil. The Jets are going to be opening night with our Monday Night Football. So now you're down to.
Yeah, which if I'm Aaron Rodgers, don't I go like, yeah, I don't want that. Because last year, you know, they made all this hubbub about his debut, and he had four plays.
Yeah, he did.
Monday Night Football. But
the Titans get nine home games this year, eight. How does that work out? They flip-flop each year, nine 1 year, eight the next, nine?
Yeah, they flip-flop. And last year, they gave up a home game for London.
Yeah.
So let's see. Well, they lost. But they have eight home games this year.
So nine now – six opponents that I bet it's Houston. I bet out of the gate, Houston start the rivalry.
Cincinnati.
Okay. Home or on the road?
Home.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they open at home. I just got a hunch. I think the Titans open at home. Because they haven't. I don't think they have. And they didn't last year.
Last year
they opened in New Orleans.
Correct. What was the year when LaJuan gave up 18 sacks? Was that 21?
To the Browns?
Yeah. No, to the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah. That was here.
21. So who'd they open against in 22?
Didn't they open, was it the Browns?
Or up there? I don't know.
I'm pulling it up here.
I know. Cardinals 21, Saints 23, 22 was, and the answer is?
I'm trying to pull it up. Damn it. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, let's see. Year 2022, they opened against the Giants here.
Oh, that's right.
So it was 2022. It was the Giants here. I forgot all about that game.
That's the one where they blew it in the last
second.
Yeah. Wow.
21 was that was Arizona. So last year they opened. Yeah, they were on the road. So
there's really no rhyme or reason to open the season.
2020, that was at Denver. Remember that? That was the COVID year, but it was at Denver. I don't think they had fans.
Was that the Monday? What game?
It was a Monday night. Yeah, okay. It was a Monday night football. 19, that was Cleveland. At Cleveland.
Yeah. When they won
that game. So, I mean, if you play on this, they go like two away, two home, and so they.
We don't know.
So we have no idea. I'm sure there'll be some leaks out there and all of that, but. You know,
but a few games have been leaked overall. And then the big news yesterday was the Tom Brady is making his debut as Dallas takes on Cleveland for Fox.
Yep.
Sunday afternoon game.
In Cleveland, yes. Yeah, that was week one. They've also released, real quick, the Monday Night Football week two game, I think.
Yeah, Kansas City at Cincinnati.
Yeah. Or no, Cincinnati at Kansas City.
Does Kansas City ever play on the road?
No.
They never play on the road, except when they go on the road and win the Super Bowl and win those games there. Their games are always at home in the regular season, it seems like.
Yeah.
Because opening game versus Baltimore.
Actually, that's not Monday night. That's just a week two late afternoon CBS
game. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw earlier somebody had it as a Monday night game. That's why you can't believe what you see.
I'm reading NFL.com. So.
Good.
Well, good. That's how the schedule release is going. All right, get to the question.
All right, so our question today, Tom Brady's going to be his first year coming as an NFL analyst. I think it's going to be a disaster because that guy is busy, busy, busy. Now you can put everything on hold, and now you got to make this commitment to the calling the games. Look, Romo is okay because he's got no life. Aikman's got no life. Tom Brady is with the F1, and he's around. I mean, it's going to be a massive change. I think he lasts a year or two. So we're talking
I just
about,
don't think he's going to like it.
No, and you got to look. Joe Montana did this. Mm-hmm. Joe Montana lasted 1 year because he wouldn't criticize the quarterbacks. And they said, you got to criticize the quarterbacks. You got to be hard on them. He's like, no, I don't want to do this. These guys are all my friends. So he's like, I'm done. This was like 1995. So Brady's the same way. I think it's going to happen that way. So we start talking about your ideal, just fantastic duo of calling football games. Pro or college, and we started debating about what it was. So our question today is going to be, what's the one guy or the crew, the dream crew that you loved calling football, the college or pro, whatever it is, we don't mind. And you could pair somebody with somebody else, the
dead announcer. Or alive? Or
yeah, let's go dead or alive.
Okay.
I mean, John Madden is going to be retired to the rafters. I mean, he's the best.
Well, we'll take him out?
I think so.
Okay.
Because everybody's going to say that. But others that with you, like
I would have said, a lot of people would have said Summerall Madden, which – Pat and they were great together, but right. I loved Al Michaels and John Madden.
That was great.
I thought they were fantastic.
See, and I go back, we were debating on the text line, our little line, of Ron Franklin calling college football games on ESPN in the 80s and 90s, man. I'd hear his voice. It'd be an SEC game, and I would be in heaven. I loved Ron Franklin. You could pair him with Mike Gottfried was there. Wasn't the flashiest guys, but they just called football, man, and it was beautiful. So we want to hear from you guys on our text line what the announcers that you like and your thoughts on maybe Brady and what he'll do this year going forward as an announcer.
Well, and I'll say this. That is our question of the day, 615-737-1025, our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You know, like guys like Brady doing this, you know whose fault it is? It's our fault because and not you and me, but like just in general, because we've put this out there of, oh, they're great. You know, like we'll always speculate like, hey, you know, when they're done, oh, they'll probably do TV. And it's like, okay, well, he's the greatest. So he has to, and so I'm sure he's kind of thought that like, oh, I got to give this a try. Now kudos to Peyton for never doing it. I know he's doing the Manning cast and stuff like that. That's more his realm. But, like, had he been in the booth, I think he would have been terrible.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. On the Manning cast, they can dissect a play, but not overall. Like, if Ryan Tannehill's having a bad game, Peyton Manning's not going to come out and say, Ryan Tannehill's having a bad
game. He's going to dissect the play.
Ryan Bobby should have seen the safety drop down this play and do all that. But I agree, Peyton would have been awful doing that. They are right where they need to be doing the Manning cast. And, you know, Brady's kind of like, God, I'd like to. But I don't think Brady has.
They're adding Belichick.
I don't think Brady has the sense of humor of an Eli and a Peyton paired together. They could have done that.
Look how uncomfortable he was during the roast. I mean, you know, just I mean, that's obviously that was the extreme. But
yeah. Well, so who's your favorite?
I have been thinking about this and have changed it probably 25 times as we've gone through all of this. So I'm going to give you a little bit at a time.
Okay.
I'm going to start with play-by-play. Right. Al Michaels is my all-time favorite play-by-play. So I will say Al Michaels.
Why? What sets him apart for you?
I don't know. It's just like when I kind of realized that this was the path I wanted to go career-wise, Al was somebody I listened to a lot. And just, you know, would always study him and how he did games. And, you know, I know a lot of people would be like, well, he's not the best one. And I'm sure there are better play-by-play guys. You know, Kevin Harlan's probably maybe one of the best that's out there.
Okay.
And he was, you know, he was on my list for sure. But I just loved listening to Al Michaels call a game. And so I if I ever got to do play-by-play, I wanted to try and be, you know.
What do you mean? Like, you still got a shot to do play-by-play.
Well, I mean, I've done some, but I mean, like Al was one of my heroes.
Okay,
I guess, you know.
Well, there's so many. Like, I'm older than you are, obviously, but like Kurt Gowdy calling Super Bowls with Merlin Olsen in the 70s was fantastic. Howard Cosell was fantastic. You know, Dick Enberg. I mean, these are guys who've all passed on, but it doesn't have to be a current announcer. There's some amazing current announcers, but. You go back a long time. There's a guy that you're going to laugh that you probably never heard of him, Chris Schenkel. You probably never heard of that guy. He called a lot of Big Ten football games on ABC back in the 70s. And every time I hear Chris Schenkel, I think about Michigan and Anthony Carter and some great Michigan, Ohio State games in the 70s and 80s. Because let's go back on that. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun going down memory lane with this.
Yeah, for sure. 615-737-1025. We got one. Now, this is kind of off the beaten path a little bit because he's doing two play-by-play guys, but Al Michaels and Vern Lundquist.
I had no problem with Vern.
I love Vern. Uncle Vern.
I had no problem. A lot of people were like, oh, he's a homer for this team. And I was like, he's great. I had no problem with Vern. Now, a lot of people don't like Gary Danielson. I think he's okay. I don't, you know.
He's okay.
You don't like it. There's a lot that goes into this.
No,
jobs,
I do
man.
Like I like Gary, but I think there are better. Like, I know he's not your favorite. I actually think Herb Street does a good job.
No, I think he does. I think he's a sissy on the
Twitter.
Like, yeah.
I think that Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit, you know, like, Fowler's not the best play-by-play guy. He's more of a host.
Right.
But those two just play off each other so well because they've worked together so long that I think it's a really good crew.
I think Fowler does a great job of letting the excitement build without saying too much. Fowler does a fantastic job on tennis. When he calls tennis, he does really good. But I think Herbstreit does a fine job. I just think he's a coward on social media.
Yeah. Look, there's so many different places to take this question. So we'll get to some of the answers coming up next. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show on a Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's not only his running, it's his blocking, it's his knowledge, his presence. The whole team feeds off of Marshall Faulk.
Should be a great night. Cleveland's been waiting for this for a long time. The dog pound at the ready. Wolfing and barking, and away we go from Cleveland. Rams-Browns on Monday Night Football.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I just got our theme. This is what we need to do in honor of this. Do the theme. So give me a Monday Night Football theme, Sunday Night Football. Like, let's if we're doing play-by-play, you know, cover analysts and everything, let's do that. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. Our question of the day, your dream team in honor of Tom Brady making his debut, the Dallas Cowboys at the Cleveland Browns, Week 1 on Fox, the schedule release. What's your dream team broadcast crew? Can be college, can be pro. I mean,
so
you can throw baseball in there if you want to. I don't care.
What happened to Greg Olson?
He's now on the number two team, I guess.
Oh, man.
Which
he's growing on me a little bit.
So a lot of people, like, I know Jared said he didn't like Olson. And maybe at first I didn't either, but like I listened to him and I could tell how much prep he does and how much work he puts into it. And so I respect that. Romo too. Like a lot of people hate on Romo, but like he does a lot of work, you know, to get ready for those games. So I respect that. I think Olsen's fantastic. And it's also about who you're paired with. Like Kevin Burkhardt, you know, I know a little bit. He's a great guy, does a really good job with baseball and football. They just had a good chemistry. They were had a natural chemistry.
I liked. I thought they were fine.
So, I don't know why they. I would have at least just gone a 3-man booth, which I generally don't like. But
so who's paired with Brady? That Burkhardt guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's Burkhardt and Brady.
Oh man! All the pressure. Good. I mean, hope they do fine. But I just think Brady's not going to be who we all think he's going to be. It's not. I don't think he's going to translate.
So you said this during the break, and a texter has brought it up that you're like, I can't believe I forgot this guy. 2729 says, I miss Keith Jackson on Saturdays.
I mean, yeah. How did I miss? Let me tell you what. The Keith Jackson called the Tennessee-Miami Sugar Bowl in January 1st, 1986 with Frank Broyles. And it was hearing hearing Keith Jackson do that game. And how Tennessee just beat Miami's ass that entire game was something I'll never forget. And Keith Jackson was on that call. Then his final game was?
His final game was the 05 Rose Bowl. What a lot of people consider to be the greatest college football game of all time.
Yep.
USC and Texas.
Before you get a text from Rex Road, it's the 06 Rose Bowl.
I'm sorry, 06.
Yeah.
05 season.
Well, 05, Vince ran all over Michigan in the 05 Rose Bowl. And they did it again. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was in hearing Keith Jackson and Al Mike on Keith Jackson and Dan. Damn it, Keith Jackson and Dan Fouts call that game was fantastic as well.
Fouts was pretty good.
I like Fouts.
Yeah, I think Fouts was pretty good.
He was paired with Dennis Miller and Al Mike. Look, I like that. I think we need more of that. I think the Manning cast should send something to Dennis Miller and say thank you because you made it fun for us to do this. Dennis Miller was so universally panned. I loved it because it was different, it was funny, and it was non-football announcer and made it a different viewpoint.
So I would like, you know, we were talking about that I didn't think Peyton would be very good as like a traditional color analyst, that what he's doing on the Manning cast is more his thing. However, I would enjoy seeing just once them actually do it from the stadium and put a host, a play-by-play in there with them to just kind of, you know, run it a little bit, point guard. But I just think it'd be kind of interesting to have Peyton and Eli in a booth, you know, paired with somebody.
They'll never do it.
I think they will.
Peyton is so PC, he'll never do it. I'm telling you, man. Trust me on this one.
Yeah.
He'll never do it. They like exactly where they are.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, Benjamin says Jim Nance and Greg Olsen, talking about Greg Olsen, so putting them together.
I think Jim Nance gets enough love. He's great.
I don't think Joe Buck gets enough love. I think Joe Buck is a lot better than people think he is. Cosell and Eli Gold. Put those two together.
But Eli doesn't do TV, so he's out.
I think he did.
You got to be. Your career has to be more TV than radio.
Jason Kelce and John Madden, that would be a riot.
I think Kelce's got a future in it.
He does.
I do. Big time.
Hair Metal Henry, there was no better broadcast than a buzzed Harry Carey and Steve Stone.
He's not wrong. By the way, they would do that. Harry Carey would do the first, second, and third inning, would disappear for the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and come back seventh, eighth, and ninth. And I found out years later he'd go to radio, air quote radio, for a little bit, but I think he went drinking and then came back to the seventh, eighth,
ninth. Yeah, he'd go over to the bar right next to Wrigley.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. He had some great lines. Like, he could never call Ryan Sandberg. It would always be Reinberg.
Yeah.
So he messed up, but he was fantastic, man.
2758, I grew up on Gifford and Michaels, hard to beat. Yeah, Frank Gifford was.
I'm telling you, you hear those for us old guys and girls that watch, you hear Frank Gifford's voice, man, and it sends you back.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Matt just says Vin Scully. Vin did some football.
He did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Kevin, Dandy Don Meredith, and Howard Cosell.
You're not going to – I mean, that's probably, to me, with you threw Gifford, Meredith, and Cosell together, it was a party. Because I'm not sure any of those guys were sober.
Yeah, so I never watched. Obviously, they were before my time. Yeah. Howard Cosell passed before my time. But I knew that Don Meredith was like the first quarterback of the Cowboys, and so knew who he was. Obviously, Frank was still doing it when I got to the age where I was watching Monday Night Football. But my dad always talked about Dandy Don and Cosell and Howard Cosell. Yeah, he would do like a
That's not bad. You're getting
Howard Cosell.
You're getting on that way a little bit.
So would always do that, but I had to look up, you know, because remember Don would do the when the game was just out of hand, turn off the lights,
the party's over. Yeah.
So I had to look that up and You know, but
that's good schooling on the NFL for you.
Yeah, they were awesome. Vincent and Dixon didn't catch if you're only doing football, but hands down, Vin Scully. Vin Scully's fine. I mean,
he did football.
Yeah, he did both.
He sure did.
You don't get any better than Keith Jackson. Another one for him. A vote for Willie Donick when a big goal is scored.
Hey, Willie, I like that. There's no wrong answer here.
Scott says Charlie McAlexander, Harry Carey, and Gus Johnson.
Charlie Mack was good. He called South Carolina football, maybe Georgia football, TV-wise back in the day. Former Channel 4 sports anchor.
Vern, this is an interesting one. My dream football announcer pairing is Uncle Vern, Vern Lundquist, and Robert Griffin III. And he says Vern for the voice, Griffin for the jokes.
Okay, I'm not an RG3 fan, big time. I think he's full of a lot of hot air, but yeah, I mean, if you like that, that's good.
I vote for John Ward. Now I don't think he did TV.
It's got to, your career has to be 51% TV more than radio.
Joel Klatt is very good. Teamed up with Greg Olson would be fantastic. I mean, here's my thing there. You got two analysts. Like, you need a play-by-play and an analyst.
Well, and that's the thing. College football now is overshadowed because of –
Joel Klatt is good, though.
He is because of Herb Street. I mean, he does such a great job. But I'm telling you, for us, you know, Ron Franklin and Gottfried and Adrian Carson did the sideline reporting. Rest in peace to two of those three. But they were great football on Saturday nights on ESPN. And I tell you one like yesterday that Dave Neal – calling the Jeff Pilot games back in the 80s.
Yeah.
We remember those games on Saturday morning. They were on TBS. Then locally, they went, I think, with the Channel 30. But Dave Neal, well, he's 82 and still teaching like at Georgia, a broadcasting class.
Bob Neal or Dave Neal?
Bob Neal. Dave's his son.
Dave's his son. Dave's still doing
You confused
games.
Me last night on that, too.
Dave
Bob
does games
Neal.
For the SEC Network.
Yeah.
Remember, I think like the last years of Jefferson Pilot, when it was like Raycom or whatever, was Dave Neal and like Andre Dawson maybe or
Andre? He's played baseball.
Oh, and Andre won a I think he won a Heisman.
Andre Ware.
Andre Ware.
Yeah. Bob Neal made it with Tim Foley. I mean, you would turn on and it would be, you know, Ole Miss and LSU, and you just sit there and watch those games on Saturday morning, and there was no flash, no flair. They were just solid announcers.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Jim Nance and Charles Davis. I think Charles does a nice job.
Tennessee graduate on the Sugar Bowl team in 85.
Is that the Sugar Vols?
Maybe. I never heard that.
I don't know. Let's see it. One more. Gronk and Dandy Don.
Oh, my Lord. I think Gronk is right where he needs to be on the Sunday morning shows.
I agree.
Perfect where he
is. Even though I would love just like a panel. Like you put James Brown in there and have Brady, Gronk, Edelman, and Belichick. Just one time.
I think eventually one day these games will get to like – a streaming service, like when Snoop and Kevin Hart did the Olympics, had their commentary. Awesome. Holy cow. That was funny. And you got to be on like HBO or something for that.
Thomas on a car phone. Good morning, guys. Growing up It was Skip Carey calling the Braves games. When he died, it felt like I lost an uncle because he was on TV so much. Yeah, that's a good one. Gus Johnson and Pat McAfee. I think McAfee is doing exactly what he needs to be doing.
Yeah, McAfee's ego cannot.
McAfee does, he's the color analyst for WWE on Monday Night Raw. And, like, that's perfect for him because he can have, like, his outbursts and
yeah.
stuff like that.
I don't want to hear him call. He's a punter. I don't want to hear him call a football game.
We'll get back into our question of the day a little bit later. But coming up next, we were talking about him yesterday. Keith Bullock, Titans legend, going to join us. And we'll get his thoughts on the pressures of a rookie kind of being the quarterback of the defense, which is what it's looking like the Titans may do. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Wrap it up tonight.
A classic. Hank Jr., are you ready for some football? We are ready for some football. It'll be here before we know it. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and how appropriate as we get our next guest ready to go. And on the line that we play the Monday Night Football theme, as we're still efforting, but Mr. Monday Night, as Keith Bullock was known as.
That's right, man. That game against the Saints, Monday Night Football, with the shut down Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees probably still has nightmares about Keith Bullock over the middle.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Three interceptions that night. Vinny Fuller, another interception, ran it back for a touchdown, and that was a big win that night.
I mean, he had so many good games on Monday night that, you know, he
– Quincy Carter.
Yeah, yeah. That was – was that his rookie year? Was that Christmas?
Christmas night. Yeah. Right.
That was really when he got the moniker, I think. We bring in Mr. Monday Night, Keith Bullock, who is online with us. Keith, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing fantastic. We're just reminiscing about how you got that moniker, Mr. Monday Night, because primetime was always pretty good to you.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed playing on that stage, you know, in Tennessee, we didn't get it too much. And playing in New York in high school, we never really played under the lights. So that was always a treat. And then, honestly, for me, I always felt, you know, I played pretty good on any, like, given Sunday. But, you know, it was always the stakes were always usually higher. At least I made them that way when my team and I got that opportunity to play on Monday night. So, yeah, it was definitely fun times, any prime time game.
So we wanted to have you on because and you tweeted this yesterday, which is perfect. We've been talking about the Titans and what they're going to do, you know, with inside linebacker. And typically one of those guys wears the green dot and kind of is the guy that calls the play for the defense on the field. And it looks like right now they may have a rookie do that. And you know, in your tweet said – since when did wearing the green dot on your helmet become such a big deal? You're the perfect person to kind of explain this of why it is a big deal or isn't a big deal if they have a rookie calling the plays.
I mean, look, for the game has changed since I've played, so that something more might go into it than when I played. But honestly, you know, it was usually the more experienced defensive player on the team, and in like and I just think that kind of has always been, like, you know, even before there was a green dot, you know, for the defensive player, I always felt as if you know, it was the more experienced player that would get the signals from the coordinator or whoever's giving the signals, hand signals on the sideline. So, you know, like when I, you know, turn on TV or listen to a radio station or something, and I just keep hearing it's like a real topic. It's just kind of like kind of baffling to me, because at the end of the day, all it is just repeating what the coach says. But that's the simplified version of it. You know, the usually more experienced player that is the signal caller on the defensive side of the ball can, you know, give different alerts to every position, knows what's going on, usually tends to know what every player within the defense is supposed to do within that call. But, you know, that it's as detailed as that, and it's as simple as relaying what you're hearing in the headset.
All right, talking to Keith Bullock this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show. All right, Keith, you come in 2000, and Greg Williams says, all right, Keith, you're a leader of our defense as a rookie. Go out there and, you know, I know there wasn't a green dot back then, but, like, you're the guy to do all that. How overwhelming would that have been as a rookie to come into the league and like, oh my goodness, I'm now the quarterback of the defense. Kind of like what they're doing with this guy that they've drafted out of North Carolina, the Cedric Gray guy, about being their green dot guy. How overwhelming is that for a rookie, Keith?
Well, I mean, look, I was a first-round draft pick. So, like, coming in as a rookie, there's already expectations. And considering that team was coming off of, a Super Bowl defeat coming up a yard short, you know, they were trying to get back. So they're not really – first of all, I have to gain their respect.
Right.
So to stand in front of that huddle, blame – I don't – first of all, that team that I that team that I came on to, that's not happening. You know, that's just not happening, no matter what Greg Williams says. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of team that was. I can't really see that happening. But without me doing something to earn that respect from that bunch of guys, I remember my third year when I became a starter, and then I eventually, had like maybe it was a time where I had to call the plays because Eddie Robinson was down or whatever. And I remember Henry Ford, who was probably in his last year with the Titans, kind of said something that gave me, let me know that, I was the leader of the defense. And, he was an OG from that older regime that was still around. And, certain things, you definitely have to garner the older guys' respect. But in this situation right here, like I say, the game could be very different. You know what I mean? Jeffrey Simmons and, I'm blanking right now. The safety.
Hooker,
Kevin
Byard.
Yeah, not Byard's not here. Imani Hooker, that's what I was looking for. You know what I mean? Some of the more veteran seasoned guys on defense, I think they might welcome it with open arms. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know the dynamic of how it works. Now I know if it were me, like I feel like the rookie needs to earn my respect. He needs to earn my respect on the field first before he's trying to tell me, what to do. And on him, it's a big thing too, man, because I think that was more so the original question. He has to know where to line up himself first, you know what I mean? Line up, alignment, assignment, and then, make plays. You know, it's one thing to be able to tell the defense where to, to play and defense, what to do. But then you need to be able to, know your alignment based on the offensive formation that comes out. Your assignment based on, whether there's motion or there's a shift. And then you need to be able to play. So I feel as a rookie coming into a defense, you could be a very fast learner. But I think those are game time situations and game time reps that you would have to get. And, in the NFL, there's a saying, you never make the same mistake twice. And most of the very, very good players do go by that. And if Cedric Gray is one of those players, you're going to make a mistake, because even if you're a very, very good player, everybody makes mistakes. And, I just feel like that's a lot to put on a rookie.
Also, you had Jim Schwartz, who is just a fantastic. I mean, you know this. You were lucky having a Greg Williams, but also your coach when you came in the league was Jim Schwartz, who probably taught you football in a whole different way than you learned at Syracuse.
Yeah, 1,000%. So for me, and I think I caught an interview, and what most guys do, man, if you're smart, look, there's only so many different ways. There's so many different defenses and so many different ways you can call cover 3, cover 3, cover 4. So once you undress the defense and you take them out, because now it's your job, you know what I mean? And that's why the really smart players play a long time, because they're able to, figure out the puzzle, so to speak, you know what I mean? Because they just call it something different, but it's definitely on the defensive side of the ball, something you ran. So you just take it and convert it and not to what you ran in college, or however you make it familiar for yourself as a rookie. And most of the time it's what you ran in college. I remember being up, this is your job now, you have plenty of time to do this, or you're just running around Nashville on Broadway, which I don't recommend, what I'm saying, as a rookie, at least trying to make the team. You have time for that. So, yeah, it should be in your books trying to decipher, you know, what we used to call this in college. So when you're able, when you get on the field, you're able to play fast, make plays, and fly around.
We're talking to Keith Bullock on the Chase and Big Joe show. Now, your ears have to be burning yesterday, Keith, because we got a discussion about whether or not you considered yourself an outside linebacker or a middle linebacker. Which was it?
You know what? I was a playmaker, man. I just have to say that. Because at the end of the day, you know, if I consider myself an out, that's why I guess so. I was considered an outside linebacker. That's why, you know, I only went to one Pro Bowl. You know, you're putting up, 180, 150 tackles against 15 sacks. You know what I'm saying? You know, sacks are the more sexy numbers, you know, even with however many interceptions, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I feel like I was a playmaker. And that conversion from safety to linebacker in college really paid off in the NFL. I feel like, I was really going to just hitting my stride when I got hurt because the game was changing. It wasn't the in-between the tackles game anymore. It's the more spread out game that you see now. And I definitely, if I didn't hurt my knee, could have played another 5-6 years in that game because there's no – you know, Jerome Bettis's, Eddie George, Brandon Jacobs, you know what I'm saying? Like, Corey Dillon, like, name them. You know, we had those big backs as well as, you know, some of the scat backs. But I feel that definitely helped me out to be a playmaker, having over 20 interceptions at linebacker, you know, so that's cool.
Keith Bullock is on the line with us. So when you look at what the Titans have done this offseason, obviously it's a different regime as a new coaching staff comes in, more of an offensive coaching staff trying to build as much as they can around Will Levis. What's kind of your view of this new offense and how it might work this year?
Well, you already know they're going to spread it out. They already just put they went and got two of their starting receivers. You know, you like to think Boyd and, of course, really, you pencil them in, you ink them in as the starters along with DeAndre Hopkins. I like how they got the backfield set. I like what they did on the offensive side of the ball, and they showed the defense some love, you know, with getting Big Sweat out of Texas.
Yeah.
To anchor and help Big Jeff with some of those double teams because you gotta face somebody, you know what I'm saying? You can't just lean on Big Jeff and then, you know, you hope Big Sweat is able to adjust to the, you know, speed of this game quickly and the, you know, the endurance that you need to have in order to play in a significant role for all four quarters. And, that might take some time, but I think you'll see some flashes and some signs, or he might surprise everybody and just, you know, be that mature to make sure he's in tip top shape. But I say that because he's playing next to Big Jeff, who never comes out of the game. And that's very impressive for a defensive lineman.
Well, and you brought that up and you kind of read my mind of where I was going to go next, because I equate, you know, getting Sweat in, And look, he had Jeff had help with Autry, but Sweat's a different kind of player. And it kind of reminds me of when you guys brought in Kyle Vandenbosch to go next to Albert, and that almost unlocked Albert, because then you had, you know, if you were on offense, you had options. You had you to worry about. You had those two guys. You bring in Curse, bring him back. So do you kind of look at it that way? And what do you remember about when KVB got on this team and how Albert kind of went to another level?
Well, I think, that's a great one right there. It almost been the other way around, you know, because, you know, not many people knew about Kyle because he was coming off of the two injuries coming. He only had played about, you know, 15 or so games before even coming here. And then, you know, obviously Albert was attracting the double teams that freed Kyle up, but I think it was a great tandem. And really, when they both the next year got on the same side, that's when you really saw Kyle take, you know, continue to rise and Albert take his game to the next level, because it's like you said, you had to make a choice, you know, and then you had other people stepping up. That's when you see a Tony Brown able to emerge, and you see a Jason Jones, and then obviously we got Javon back, and then he was making noise on, you know, his side of the ball as a vet. And, you know, all those things factor in. So once you're able to get guys that could be difference maker, and, like, you know, football is about matchups, you know, sports is about matchups, you know, baseball, pitching matchups, you know what I'm saying? Basketball, one-on-one. So the one-on-one factor comes in into football as well, because if you can win and dominate your matchup, that's something I always said in my mind. My goal was to dominate my matchup, and it doesn't happen every week, but every play, but the more you're able to dominate your matchup, the more you're successful. It helps free things up for other people. So, you know, you like to think that having those guys up front will make the ball come out faster, and that'll help the secondary so they don't have to cover as long. You know, have the linebackers be in position to make plays, to be playmakers, as I feel linebackers should be, because they get a lot of the opportunities in the run game and the pass game. So it'll be interesting to see what new coordinator does with the talent that he has.
Before we let you go, we've debated that. I still say your best hit on the football field was when you hit Cortland Finnegan and told him to shut his mouth in that 08 Ravens game, because Derek Mason wouldn't shut up and got into his head.
What, to me, D-Mace never shuts up? I've never heard that before.
Nah, man. You know what? That's funny, man. People definitely bring that up. But, yeah, D-Mace was You know what? The thing was, D-Mace wasn't even really killing him. He was killing him on first down conversions. Like, you know, so, like, D-Mace would get – but D-Mace was very, very good. His talk game was good, man. The Michigan State boys could talk some junk. And, yeah, he was getting the best of Cortland a little bit as far as talking. You know, I think as far as the football goes, you know, it was whatever. D-Mace is a savvy vet, but – yeah, since that time, Cortland and I have both matured, and we're on very good terms. And, you know, just so the streets know what's up.
That's great.
Yeah, and look, we brought D-Mace in to do a radio show because of all that junk he could talk. So
I mean, I love D-Mace, man. I wish we never had to go to Baltimore, but you know, it worked out.
Yeah, it did. Keith, thanks so much for doing this. It's good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Keith Bullock, former Titans linebacker, joining us here on the show. Mr. Monday Night.
Yeah, that should be, without a doubt, the next jersey to go. I mean, that's the one to go. I mean, Ring of Honor. Yeah.
I would put him, D-Mace, and you know what? Blaine should be up there too.
Those three. But yeah. Especially Bullock and Mason. Really. And so,
I agree.
Keith should be up there. Hey, in the 10 o'clock hour, I got something for you.
Okay.
And we talked about this the other day, but you know what I'm bringing up. The most important game for Alabama football, and if you're an Alabama football fan, SEC football fan, listening at 10, because we're going to bring it up. This is a massively critical game for Alabama 2024. It's not what you think either.
Yeah, we're going to do some college football stuff, because I got a college football question for all of you coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll wrap up this one. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
They're at the New England 4-yard line, first and goal. 29 seconds left. Here, Butker kicks the extra point. And Fitzpatrick throws in the end zone. Touchdown, Miami! The Dolphins have just scored. Gesicki, the tight end, got a laser in the back of the end zone on a goal-to-go touchdown pass by Miami quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick to take a lead with 24 seconds to go. The extra point coming up for Miami, leading New England 26-24. And the crowd now knows it.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Was that Harlan? Kevin Harlan. And one of the great – turn this up. Man, I can't wait. Even though it's not the SEC anymore, it's still – just put it right in my veins.
They should have got a new song.
Yeah, maybe they do. They might be. I don't know.
When I was looking up Keith Bullock's the 2000 season, they've got all the TV announcers for all the games. like Ian Eagle and Mark May.
Ian Eagle.
Dick Stockton and Matt Millen. Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman. Kevin Harlan and Daryl Johnston and Beasley Reese.
Daryl Moose?
Yep. Nice. This is 2000. What do you think stands out different here? Gus Johnson, Brent Jones. Ian Eagle, Mark May called four games that year for the Titans. And, of course, the Monday night game, Al Michaels, Dan Fouts, Dennis Miller, Melissa Stark, and Eric Dickerson. If you've never seen the skit, SNL, Jimmy Fallon's playing Dennis Miller, Will Ferrell's playing Dan Fouts, Tracy Morgan's doing Eric Dickerson, and it's just a fantastic, fantastic skit because Jimmy Fallon does a perfect Dennis Miller in that skit that they did.
Matthew in Nashville answering our question of the day, your dream broadcast team for football, Uncle Vern and Al Michaels with Joel Klatt as the analyst and Michelle Tafoya on the sideline. Basketball, Kevin Harlan and Mike Breen.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Michelle Tafoya was great. She was great as a sideline announcer on Sunday Night Football. It was great for what she did.
Yeah, I 100%. 100% agree.
One game at the Titans and Steelers in 2000, Marcus Allen was one of the announcers. I didn't know he did games.
Yeah.
Marcus Allen.
Did you think – I actually thought O.J. did a good job. Obviously, he – I'm not going to put him in this category now, but
– Right.
You know, I thought he was a decent broadcaster.
Well, he did Monday Night Football one year. Was
I liked him on the sideline – on NBC.
Yeah. He was Joe Namath, OJ, and then was it Frank Gifford in the middle? Yeah. I mean, so it was – yeah, but it's not – again, Joe Montana did it, and he dropped out after a year because he wouldn't criticize other people. So, I mean, it's not the easiest.
Jason Witten did it for a year. It was terrible, so he went back to –
because he had that damn dumb toupee. He looked all – you're right.
He wasn't good. I forgot he did that.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was terrible.
Well, because remember, I thought Gruden was really good. And if Gruden had just not gone back
– Right.
He could have been the next Madden, and then obviously all the – whatever came out. But he was great. I thought he was really good.
He was.
His last game was the Chiefs-Titans playoff game where Marcus throws the pass to himself. But
I tell you what, man.
Yeah, they
Spider they took, 2 Y banana.
Yeah, I tell you what.
They couldn't figure out how to replace him and finally had to go get Buck and Aikman to do it.
I know some coaches that spent some time down with Gruden. This is long ago. There's a Hooters like by Gruden's house in Tampa.
Yeah.
And they would go out there and they said Gruden would never stop talking football. He just would never stop talking football about plays, about different positions and different guys, but it's always about football constantly. And they're like, "Do you take a break?" He's like, "Never."
No. Never. He loves it. Like he lives
never
and breathes
stop.
It.
Yeah.
Like you could tell the happiest he was when he'd do that quarterback camp and like going through stuff with the
quarterback.
He was
great.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man.
Fantastic. All right, coming up next, we'll get into some college football because we just need it.
Well, there's a critical game for Alabama football that could set the tone. And I'm telling you, man, I'm giving you an over-under on Kalen DeBoer at Alabama.
Okay.
Something different.
We will do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.